This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, July 14th. I'm Audrey McCabe. Several local farms and businesses in the North Fork Valley were recently featured in the Colorado Sun. But unfortunately, the story wasn't a happy one. A devastating freeze in April wiped out most of these farms, including every crop grown by First Fruit Organic Farm. Kevin Kropp, the owner, says that in his 50 years of farming, he's never experienced anything like this. The Sun reports that First Fruit isn't alone. An overnight freeze on April 17th decimated fruit production across Colorado's North Fork Valley. Most growers in this area have reported a total loss of their crops. The region only produces about 10% of Colorado's fruit harvest, but it's home to many of the state's organic orchards and supplies farmers markets, wholesalers, and retailers, as well as community-supported agriculture programs across the Western Slope and Front Range. The fruit may be gone, but the bills are not. Orchards still must be irrigated, fertilized, and maintained, and year-round employees still need to be paid. Crop insurance helps, but only partially, as most policies cover roughly 30% of expected losses. And seasonal farm workers, packing sheds, and businesses that depend on spring fruit harvests are also impacted. Delta and 32 other Colorado counties have been declared natural disaster areas because of drought. Fortunately, this makes growers eligible for USDA emergency loans and other disaster assistance programs. Local nonprofit organizations have also begun helping farms navigate financial planning, legal issues, and other recovery efforts. Yesterday morning, Montrose residents and local officials lined San Juan Avenue. They held American flags in their hands or draped them across their cars. The crowd was solemn as a line of emergency vehicles passed. The procession was escorting the body of Nicholas Dale, a helicopter pilot who died while fighting the Gold Mountain Fire on Sunday. The first responders drove by with stoic expressions and their eyes on the road ahead of them. But there was palpable emotion among the residents watching.
When you have people that are brave enough to risk their lives to help us and make life better for us, you can't help but be on this lineup with all these flags and get teary-eyed because a young man gave his life in order to protect us. And so it's meaningful.
That was Montrose County Commissioner Sue Hansen. The Board of Commissioners actually delayed their meeting yesterday morning in order to attend the procession. Dale, the pilot, was a 56-year-old man from Sooke, British Columbia. He was the sole occupant of the helicopter, which was engaged in suppression efforts for the Gold Mountain Fire. The aircraft went down shortly after 5 p.m. Sunday evening and crashed into the Silverjack Reservoir. Erica Story, the Montrose County Communications Director, told us,
Montrose County Sheriff's Office dive team, they went up yesterday. They were called out to the scene and they did assist the Gunnison County Sheriff's Office with the recovery.
Commissioner Kirsten Copeland found meaning in the procession's attendance.
I think it reflects the Montrose community, how much our first responders mean to all of us. You know, my husband is a police officer, and I know that firefighters, police officer, wildland firefighters, all of those folks put themselves at risk every day to protect us, and I think this community recognizes that and shows up.
The crash is currently being investigated by the National Transportation Safety Board and the Federal Aviation Administration. And the Ferris Fire in southwest Colorado has burned more than 64,000 acres and is 29% contained. Evacuation orders and fire restrictions remain the immediate public safety concern. But as the fire burns through Dolores River Canyon, some local advocates are also thinking about what the fire could mean for one of the region's most distinctive ecosystems. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KSJD's LP McKay reports.
The Dolores River is one of the most magnificent ecosystems in western Colorado.
That's Rika Fulton, the Advocacy and Stewardship Director for Dolores River Boating Advocates.
It's kind of this hidden gem of life in this high desert ecosystem.
Fulton's group focuses on protecting the Dolores River and helping the public understand what makes the river corridor so special. She says this is more than a recreation area. It's one of the main ribbons of water and habitat running through a dry landscape.
It's a tributary of the Colorado River, so it provides really important aquatic connectivity to the larger basin for fish. and has a lot of biodiversity in the riparian area for plants and animals. And so it's a hot spot for birds and mammals and reptiles and all kinds of species that we all kind of love here in the Southwest.
The same remoteness that makes the area ecologically rich also makes it difficult for firefighters to access, and it makes it harder to know exactly what is happening on the ground as fire moves through.
So it's this high, narrow canyon with a lot of trees and dense vegetation in there and not a lot of water.
Aside from the fire, this year's drought is challenging the ecosystem. The river itself is extremely low. That matters because the canyon is not only dry from above, it's also missing the water that would normally support plants, fish, and wildlife from below. Some of the most painful uncertainty for Fulton is around the canyon's old-growth ponderosa pines.
There's just so much special vegetation down there that you can't find anywhere else. There's old growth ponderosa pines, especially up where the fire is burning now. And, you know, they're never going to go back in this ecosystem. And certainly those ponderosa pines are fire adapted, but this seems to be such a high intensity fire that, you know, it's really worrisome for the entire ecosystem down there.
Fulton says some of those old trees may be hundreds of years old. She says some also show signs of cultural use by Ute people, including peeled ponderosas where bark was historically removed. Ponderosa pines are adapted to fire. In a lower intensity burn, their thick bark can help them survive. But Fulton says this fire is burning during severe drought. That raises the concern that the fire could burn hotter and more intensely than the canyon's older trees and riparian areas are built to handle.
Fires have always been a part of the ecosystem, whether they're naturally occurring, or we know that it's well established that native peoples would set fires on purpose to kind of clear out the underbrush of forests. And a lot of those fires that were pretty low intensity, those big trees could easily withstand that heat for it wasn't as hot and it wasn't for too long. And some of the lodgepole pine, actually their seeds tend to disperse during those fire events, and that's how those species continue to evolve. But right now we're seeing one of the worst droughts in the past 100 years, and there's no water in the river. So I think all the vegetation has hardly any water in it to help fend off that really intense fire.
The impacts will not stop when the flames are out. Fulton says ash, sediment, and burned wood could wash into the river corridor during future storms. Some sediment and wood can be healthy for a river system, especially below a dam that traps those materials upstream. But because the Dolores is so low right now, Fulton worries that remaining pools could be overwhelmed.
Those pools will just get covered with ash and other kind of materials, and the fish, you know, won't have anywhere to go. So in this case, I'm really worried that these, you know, the fish that are left in these pools are just kind of going to suffocate.
Fulton says future boaters and land managers may also see changed campsites, unstable slopes, burned trees, debris in the river, and possibly altered rapids. For now, much remains unknown. But Fulton is trying to hold both grief and hope at the same time. The canyon has seen fire before. It has old trees, hardy native fish, and plant communities that have survived harsh conditions for a very long time.
I do have hope that it will be okay, even if it's going to take several years to really, you know, clean up and start to see regrowth. And I think there could be some good stewardship opportunities for people to go in there and monitor that and put in native seeds where it's important, you know, seeing how we can play a role in assisting the rejuvenation and the restoration of that river corridor.
Closures remain in place around the Ferris Fire, and officials are asking the public to stay out of closed areas while crews work. With KSJD News, I'm LP McKay.
Firefighters battling the Gold Mountain Fire are mourning one of their own, and KVNF is collecting letters, cards, artwork, and thank you notes to deliver to the crews. At the Incident Command Post, there's a board set aside for messages of support, and right now, it could use some filling. The firefighters don't need supplies, but they could use some kindness. Drop your messages off at the KVNF studio in Paonia on Grand Street, weekdays from 9 to 5, or at our Montrose studio at 19 North Cascade Avenue anytime. If we're not there, just slip them through the mail slot. We'll make sure they reach the firefighters. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audra McCabe.